This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. This show is also sponsored by Onnit.com. Go there to get Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, any of those optimization tools, and get 10% off when you mention code word church. And this show is also sponsored by HitEcigs.com. The proof is in the eSig. Use code word Joey's church and get 20% off of your order.
Let's kick this motherfucker off on a Monday, August 18th. What? Kick this motherfucker, Lee. Ferguson, stand up, you black cocksuckers. I love you. What? Hit it. Monday morning. Your second chance at life, you fucking cocksuckers. Quit smoking today. Quit drinking. Do jumping jacks. Quit fucking
everything.
Crack hose up the muffler. This is your second chance today. Monday. Wash those feet. Brush your teeth. Wash your ass. You want friends? Huh? What? We got to fight the power that be. Oh shit. Oh shit. Wiggle for me, Uncle Lee. Oh shit. Wiggle for Uncle Joey, cocksucker. What? 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 You bad motherfucker, you. You made it to the church. What's up, Lisa? I had fucking long 5 fucking days. I miss you, cocksuckers.
I know. It feels like longer than since
Wednesday.
Yeah,
we gotta figure some shit out here and shit. It's a beautiful day to be alive. It's a second chance to make it happen. Salute the flag. Grab your nuts. Whatever the fuck you gotta do to remind you, you're in a fucking American. We don't take shit from nobody, motherfucker. Sup, baby?
Nothing. That shit in Ferguson is scary.
It's fucking scary. And I talked to Joey Filato, who called into the podcast.
Because he's from St. Louis, right?
He's in St. Louis, and he was breaking it down for me how Ferguson is next to where it's going down, where he lives. And he broke down the 3 counties to me, the North End, and what happened. And
well, let me ask you something.
Go ahead, my
brother. Because I understand that we need police and that this one bad cop did something. And now the whole thing, it seems like they're all going to shit. But I never really understood. Is it because I'm so white that they never really mess with me? Like when you're walking down the street and you see a cop, are you worried they're going to mess with you?
Because you never know what could happen. You never know what could fucking happen. In this situation, you know, it's like 3 wrongs don't make a right. You know. Yeah. The cop shoots the kid, then they release the video of him shaking down the fucking owner, and then there's looting and there's all this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
One mistake now led into 3 others that we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
You know, listen, man, I've been in situations where a cop has said to somebody that there's been an accident. There's been an accident or there's an event, and you're walking by and the cop tells you to move to the other thing, and you're like, what are you saying? Hold on. You know, you're in your thought, and you don't know what they're saying. And sometimes a cop will get into your face. I'm sure that's happened. That ever happened to you? Like, you're not walking in the right thing. Hey, you, didn't I fucking tell you to cross the street? And you're like, really? Is that fucking necessary? You know, is that fucking necessary? And now you get into a fucking altercation with a cop, and you're always going to lose.
Oh, gee, yeah. See,
either they're going to give you a ticket, or why are you talking to me that way, or turn around, let me frisk you. It always becomes that. We have taken the I don't know how to say the word, not tenderness. We have taken the human interaction away from the police officer.
Yeah.
Because now when they're trained, you know, they're shooting dogs.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, a dog is 10 feet away. Hey, put your dog away. Listen, if that dog ain't got a fucking gun or he's not charging me, I understand putting your hand on the holster. You know, I understand everything. I understand that it's very tough to be a cop. When I get out of the car, I don't know what I'm going to walk into.
Right.
I don't know if you have a gun. I don't know what. But instead of this officer saying, my gun went off, I discharged it too early or whatever, you know, it gets covered up. That right away the cops come and they go, fuck him. He was just a black kid. You know, he's probably a hood anyway. That's the mentality. I'm telling you, that's the mentality,
yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
He's just a fucking number. He's not a human no more. You know, we have taken the human interaction out of being a police officer. They are trained now a certain way where they're not supposed to listen to us, and we're all perps, and we're all wrong.
Well, did you hear about that stop and frisk thing they had in New York for a while?
Yeah.
This kid recorded the audio of it, and it was terrible.
Terrible.
But it's, and it's like, because you know that you have to have cops, and I'm sure, I don't even know for the majority, but I'm hoping that the majority of cops are good people, and part of me, if a cop tells me to do anything, I'm just doing it. Because whenever I see these videos people put up of, like, people outside bars, of people, like, yelling at cops and, like, resisting cops, I'm like, why would you do that? Like, and part of me is like, well, maybe you should stand up for your rights and stuff. But the other part of me is like, they have guns.
Well, and they're the cops. Officer, why are you yelling at me when I'm just walking out of the club? Why are you yelling at me, or why am I?
Oh, my brain doesn't even go there.
Let's say you're saying off it. Let's say he's just pushing you. And you're like, get off me. I didn't do nothing. Right away, that's resisting the arrest. They can hit you. I mean, and then it's 10 cops. Look what happened in Staten Island. And I'm no political activist. I'm none of these guys. But this guy is a big black guy.
Oh, fuck, the guy who died.
That guy, when they choked him out.
Oh, my God.
Really? For selling fucking cigarettes? For selling untaxed cigarettes? That's what Staten Island was built on. That's what Sammy the Bull Gravano did for 30 fucking years. You fucking morons. And you got a black guy that's 6 foot fucking nine, and the guy's saying, I can't breathe. And the little guy, Johnny Jiu-Jitsu, who's a purple belt, is holding on to this fucking guy. This cannot continue. Because what's going to happen is there's some crazy motherfuckers out there that will get a gun and we'll start shooting cops in the fucking head. It's happened before. Jesus. And then we sit here and we got to fucking salute as they drive by. Listen, we don't know what happened. We weren't there, number one. Number two and number three, we don't know what type of day that officer is having.
Okay.
You don't understand, maybe his kid just got caught playing hooky and the wife is breaking his balls. And now I show up and this black guy doesn't want to fight. He's just saying, hey, man, you know me. What the fuck are you bothering me for?
Yeah.
You know, well, turn around. Let me. The handcuffs don't fit. And all of a sudden I jump out. You don't. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never fucking know what type of day a person is having.
Okay.
And that's what happens a lot of times in these situations. But what happens after them? You know, what does looting
that's the thing.
And have to do with a cop? What is, you know, I don't understand the release. Maybe I didn't grow up in those type of areas. But I did dumb shit like that when I was a kid. I did all that type of shit. When something happened, you join up with a bunch of people and you're out there yelling and screaming. By the time you get home, you're like, what was I yelling and screaming for?
And that's the, I don't know Ferguson, but let's, so I was talking to Paula about it, and she was like, during Rodney King, her mom and her dad looted. Not because they were upset about black people, but they were poor and people were looting and they needed food. So I don't know, is Ferguson lower income? Because maybe,
well, I guess it was used to be a good neighborhood.
Okay.
I don't know. Joey broke it down for me yesterday.
It's so scary that could happen here.
And it's gonna happen because now they're gonna let the cop go. The cop's gonna get acquitted.
Always, on the line,
and this is gonna happen. There was a march yesterday in downtown LA about two cops killing a kid that was mentally challenged.
Oh my God!
And then there was another one where two cops again got into it with a guy and they beat him up or something in front of his kids. They shot him in front of his fucking kids. So the humanitarian aspect, the humane aspect. You know, when I was growing up, guys, I got in a lot of trouble, and I had police contact a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it was in those early years, in the late 80s and the early 90s, where there were still cops that were human beings. They'd separate you. What happened? Step back, lower your voice, breathe. Okay, what happened? And you had a chance for them to explain yourself. Without getting turned around or thrown on the floor or a fucking tank coming down the street. Since when do police officers have tanks?
Yeah.
Are the neighborhoods that bad? I didn't know that these fucking people had anti-fucking missiles.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know, on the street to shoot.
And they were firing like tear gas and rubber bullets. Do you think part of it is like budget cuts and they're just like they're overworking them and they don't hire the best people anymore? And, like, that's part of the reason why I get so upset during tax season. It's like, why am I paying these high taxes? And then you're not... Stop paying... I don't know if the politician... I don't know who you should be paying, but pay the cops more. And, like, you should have good cops. Like, maybe they're hiring people who they wouldn't have hired before.
No, they're still hiring the same people. They're still going through the same hiring process. It's the way we're getting trained.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mindset that they're getting let out into the street at. It's the 10 years on the police force. It's the being blind to not appreciating what the job is about anymore. You know, when you get out of a car, you see three black guys, there's a call over the radio, you're pulling your gun. that motherfucker turns around, blah, blah, blah. You don't know. You haven't, like I said, you don't know what type of day you're having. And once a weapon gets pulled out, it's always bad.
Fuck. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we're here talking about it. I don't have all the facts. I'm not going to tell you I'm fucking Diane Sawyer. And I got 20 people fucking working and looking at all the facts. But I know the top fact. I know what black and white, I know how that works. And I understand contact with police. I've had thousands of fucking contact with police. So it's just a bad situation that could settle down or might get worse. And it seems like every time these situations flare in this country, they're getting worse and worse because it's a fucking powder keg.
Yeah.
Okay, it flared up in Florida last summer with the Trayvon Martin. You know, it swelled in New York a couple of years ago. It's starting to swell. Well, it's like a body. Your body, all of a sudden you get a headache, your foot hurts. Eventually, this is going to get fucking bad. Eventually, something's going to go. So,
well, this is worse than Trayvon Martin, because at least the guy who killed Trayvon Martin was just an idiot neighborhood watch guy. This guy's a cop.
So again, it's my prayers go to the family and anybody. My prayers go to Ferguson that, you know, they got some fucking sleep last night. And they didn't go out during the curfew. I was close to Ferguson all fucking weekend. I was 2 hours from Ferguson. I was 159 miles from St. Louis. I was in Paducah, Kentucky. And I got to tell you, man, I was fucking blown away.
Why? What happened?
It was just a different type of place. It was a lot different than what I anticipated. I did a comedy show at the Exeterra Cafe. You know, the kid helped me out, George Machane.
Just like a coffee shop, right?
It was just a coffee shop. It sat 50 people. I went in there and I just talked and I really had a fucking great time. Just, you know, you don't understand comedy. A lot of people don't understand there's two different types of comedy. There's the open mic comedy and people doing shows. Then there's the paid comedy, you know. And sometimes you get sick and tired of just doing paid comedy. You love just going in and nobody gives you any money and you just go in with no
pressure. Oh, there were no tickets?
No.
Nothing, oh, okay.
Nothing. There was a tip jar and I told them at the end to give it to the young comics because they drove, and I want them to feel like to make 10, 20 bucks to know that this is working, you know.
Okay.
So there was a tip jar out, and I said, nobody, I don't want no money, you know. We're gonna give it to these young guys that put the show together, and so they know that they're on the right track. That's always great when you're a comic and somebody gives you 40 bucks or 50 bucks. It's a great fucking feeling, you know, to know that you're on the right track. So that's why I did it. And I had a great time. You know, Lee and I were talking about the baby, how hard it is to travel with a child. I mean, it almost pushed us to a fucking divorce Saturday morning.
Jesus.
That's how hard we got into an argument because we hadn't slept in 2 nights. You know, a child has a certain, what do you call that, a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And once you remove them from that schedule and a new surrounding, fuck, it affects us. How is it not going to affect a 19-month-old child, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing that this baby, Mercy talks and runs and jumps in puddles and she's hell on wheels, but she's still a fucking baby. She's not even in that mid-level. She's a baby. She's still, her words are starting to come together. It's a beautiful thing to see. Like, she'll try to have a conversation with me and I'll get 4 or 5 words. This weekend, the word was come. It was come. Everything was come.
Okay.
And she'd turn around, you got to follow. Come. So now when I was calling, I'm like, come. And she would come to me, you know, so it's getting easier. But she's a baby.
It's still hard.
She's a baby. She fucking flipped out on the flight on the way there. You know, at the airport, it's this big area with all these people. She wants to run, but she can't.
And you can't say, listen, this is an airport. We got to come down here, but we'll run later. And
she doesn't understand.
Yeah, you can't reason with them.
The second flight was this puddle fucking jumper. And she's sweating, and she doesn't understand, and she's looking at me for the answers, and I ain't got them. I don't want to be on this fucking plane either. You know, I don't want to be on this fucking plane either. But I complained to my wife, so, you know, tempers boiled there, but I'm happy just to be home. You know, man, I have 5 weeks at home. I'm having knee surgery next Tuesday. And this was what these weeks were for. You know, I'm not going to Sacramento with Joe next week because these weeks were already anticipated for this knee surgery and the rest and the rehab. I really want this knee to be done with so I can really get this weight off me, I can really focus on my, you know, and I'm really working hard lately. I've been going to Hegan Machado's Jiu-Jitsu School. I've already gone like 3 weeks in a row. You know, I signed up for the BJJ, the log.
Okay.
I forget what it's called right now. My friend
Raffy talked about it.
And ever since I joined up that thing, it's helped me a lot more with Jiu-Jitsu. And I'll tell you why, because it's the Weight Watchers concept.
Okay.
It's being responsible for everything. When you have a website that you have to go to every day and report to and tell it what you ate.
Yeah, yeah,
do the
same thing.
Calories and all that shit. It really makes you a little bit more, you know, I was going to BJJ once or twice a week. Now I've been going 3 times a week ever since I joined that.
Wow.
Because you put it in and it tells you if you're going to improve or not and how much you improve by going that third day or not. You also write your techniques down, you know, like what you learned. So a lot of times I was learning something coming home and just forgetting it. Now I come home and it forces me to write in the log, you know. If anybody's on, if anybody's going to BJJ, you're trying to lose weight or anything like that, that always helps when you log stuff in of what you've done. So like today I have to go to BJJ at 11, but I got to tell you something, I got a full fucking day. I got auditions today, I got to put a tape, an audition on tape, I got to put something down for Comedy Central, I got a meeting with these two dudes tonight, my day goes till 7 o'clock.
Wow.
But I got to tell you something, man, and you brought it up to me. I'm very lucky for my cats.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
My cats, any animal. It's not just my cats. I was just leaving the house now, and I saw Biggie outside and the other blonde cat. And I walked up to Biggie as I put my stuff in the car, and I was letting it warm up, you know, up here. And I lowered the windows, and I saw Biggie. He's a cat from the neighborhood. And I walked up, and I said, Biggie, Biggie. And he walked over and just dropped and let me pet him this morning. Biggie's a big blonde cat.
He's in one of the Mad Flavors worlds. Yeah,
he lives down the block from me. Biggie's a bad motherfucker. Biggie was like the neighborhood pimp, but then they cut his balls off, and now he's just this mellow dude. And just this morning, I was walking down the stairs, and I was thinking about my wife and the baby, and, you know, you think about the troubles of the world, whatever the fuck I was thinking about. And as I was walking the street to pet Biggie, just me petting Biggie this morning. Just me playing with Biggie for 5 minutes. Because when you scratch Biggie's back, he goes, he moves his mouth, but nothing comes out. It's like he's lip syncing like a Japanese movie. Just that little rub his back for 5 minutes gave me so much satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned it yesterday when you called back that, you know, I had Lee watch the cats at night. I have the lady come in the daytime, feed them, clean the litter boxes. And I know my cats. I know they're very social.
Uh-huh.
So I have you stop in. You like them. They like you, you know.
Yeah.
You stop in. You feed them. You sit there for 10 minutes and you, you know, tell them whatever, that you love them or whatever the fuck you tell them. And, you know, you even said it, that you got something out of it. It's really,
well, it was cool. When I walked in, like, they were looking at me. And I took a couple pictures because they were just so cute. But then you told me to go feed them, and then I got on the phone because I didn't, like, there's different places for the bowls, and I'm sure I didn't even get it right. But then you're like, put a wet can, and even before, as soon as I went into the kitchen, like, they all came out of the woodwork, and, like, they were gray meows nonstop.
Nonstop.
Which I didn't expect. And then Timmy was going crazy, too. And it was cool to watch because they must have been hungry 2 nights ago because as soon as I put the food down, they all went in there. And then I was, like, sitting on the couch, like, by myself in your living room watching ESPN. I'm like, what am I doing here? But then they all came out and started, like, washing themselves. And Cece came over. And Harry and Demi always come over. And it's just, it's, I wish I had more time. And for cats, I probably could do it. But, I always enjoy just playing with the cats.
Anything to do with animals. Like, anytime you're having a fucked up day or whatever, you walk home and whatever, whether you have a dog or a cat, you go over, you pet your dog, you feed him, and then you're going to go do something, and for some reason that you feel so bad, you drop to one knee, and you just look at him, hug him, and play with him, and grab his ear, and maybe get a ball and throw for your dog. Those 3 minutes, you know, they say when you have an animal, you live longer. People who have dogs and cats live a little longer, you know, and I can guarantee it's those moments. Like, yesterday I got home, and I tell you, Lee, I was fucking tired. I was tired physically. I was tired mentally. You know, the night before, I hadn't slept Friday night. So I get there Thursday. We go to dinner. You know, we go back to the room. I'm watching TV. I think it's going to be a regular night. You know me. I go to bed at 11:30. Next thing you know, at 4 a.m., I'm walking around. I mean, I got up. I could not sleep. I could not. The baby was next to me on the bed. You know, she woke up. I played with her. I went and got breakfast, and the day started. Friday night, I went to do that coffee shop, and I didn't eat a Chiba Chew. I had a Chiba Chew for the whole weekend.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not going to eat it Friday night. I should have eaten it Friday night. Because I got back to the room, and it was a fucking nightmare. And by 4 in the morning, we were just fighting. And she left at 7 because the child just wouldn't sleep there, you know. She went to her brother's house, and the baby slept there. And then when she got back, we put the baby down again. But so I went to bed at Saturday night, like at 8 o'clock. I had to catch a 6 a.m. flight in Paducah, which the airport is hilarious. Fucking the best airport. That in Santa Fe, New Mexico. This didn't even have a food. Santa Fe had a restaurant. This didn't even have a restaurant. This just had four machines.
It had like, you're like, where do you get food? You're like right
an
there.
Egg sandwich machine.
Oh, no.
A coffee machine. A candy machine. And a soda machine. That's all this place had. Excuse me. It didn't have nobody serving hot food, nothing. I was prepared. I had like a banana and something else, you know. And by the time I got home, that Chicago to L.A. flight was easy. I saw Ron Fulch on the plane. I talked to him at the airport in Chicago. I met him. I shook his hand as I was eating a fried egg sandwich in Chicago. I was fucking starving. And I got home, and I tell you, when I walked in the house, I had to do a couple. I had to clean the litter box and sweep up a little bit. I opened the door to get some air in there, lit some candles. I fucking, just to give them, I threw all the clothes in the tan. You know, I do my regular shit, hook up the sleep apnea machine. And I had this list. I had to go to Ralph's. I had to go to the bank. I had to go to the weed store. I had to make another move at this place. I had to stop and see if the medication was in from my fucking knee. And I tell you what, when I got back last night, I really wanted to take you to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Lee to dinner after I do the emails. I couldn't leave the house.
Oh, I knew that. Because you asked me what you're doing for dinner. I'm like, I'm going to have it in a little bit. And you really, I knew you were tired.
I was tired, but I just felt bad for them. I didn't want to leave them another night.
Right.
So I basically got on my hands and knees like at 4:30 with them. And I brushed all of them, which was a fucking amazing to brush those cats with the metal thing and then with the brush to get the hair off.
Do they like line up at all? Or?
Oh, my God. They fucking love it. And they scratch at each other to move. You're done. Don't come back. Fuck you. He already brushed you.
I got so worried, and I wasn't even high, but I got worried because you have baby things set up in your house, and I'm not that experienced with cats. So Cece got behind the one at the TV place, and I was like, I don't know if she can get back out from there. So like I kept calling her. Like I wanted her to just be out of there before I left. But then she jumped, and I'm like, oh, that's not for the cat. So Mercy doesn't get behind there, and the cats are fine. But I was my worst nightmare was like that I was gonna leave Saturday night, and you would get back Sunday afternoon, and Mercy and Cece would be behind there like meowing and peed somewhere she wasn't supposed to behind the TV, but she was fine.
No, Mercy, they always go back there.
Okay, I didn't know that.
they gotta break my balls some fucking part of the other day, and they go back there, and they love it, you know. When the kid's not there, they don't really piss back there or anything or shed back.
I thought she was gonna get trapped.
No, but it's just really nice to have them. It's really nice to have animals and just to take time. Yesterday, as stressed out as I was, I sat them all down, like I said, and I pat them, and Demi bit me while I'm brushing them. They get so emotional when you brush them. Like the girls put their claws in you as you brush them.
Oh, yeah.
And they bite your hand, and Demi bites you a little bit. He'll bite your wrist a little bit as you're brushing his ears. It's pretty interesting shit, but I don't know. It's just a great fucking thing. Where's the music at? Where's I Want to Be Around? It's Monday, cocksuckers. Get your shit together. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Get up. Grab your ball. Sniff your fingers. Thank the Lord for giving you another fucking day, cocksucker. The church, bitch.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart.
This candy's kicking in.
Oh, fuck.
Somebody twice as smart.
No.
6,000 milligrams of pure THC liquid juice and Arabian ball hair. I'm pretty mellow, too.
Somebody who will swear to be true.
Are you fucking kidding me or what?
I thought of you last night because there's this app that you can get, like, discount tickets on. And I was just looking through, just bored, I couldn't fall asleep. And Wu-Tang Clan with Talib Kweli is going to the Forum in Englewood. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to go see. And then I just thought of you, like, why are you going to go jump up and down with all the black people?
They'll kill you down at the Forum with Talib, Mahouk, and the fucking rest of the
Wu-Tang Clan, yeah.
The Forum, just, it's beautiful. They said they redid it inside. You know, I went to see Janet Jackson there.
Really?
In like 98, they said they redid it and stuff. Let me ask, what is going on with the Ice Challenge? I don't understand what ALS is. I don't understand nothing.
Well, ALS is...
Last night, my buddy called me. He goes, dog, they're fucking... You're getting challenged. Let them...
I was going to challenge you, but it just... It's Lou Gehrig's disease.
Okay.
Which is terrible. I saw the thing they did on SportsCenter, but like it just shuts you down. Like, your brain's still good, but you can't move and you can't talk. And your body just disintegrates. And this guy who got it when he was like 27, a baseball player, who was great, and he started raising awareness for it, and it's just, people are doing it now just to do the ice, and I only did it for the ice. I don't have money right now to be donating to people, but the point is you're supposed to raise awareness for the disease, because what he said is apparently it hasn't changed since Lou Gehrig got it. Like, there's been no improvements. It just, when you get it, it's just like 2 years and you're dead. So they said like the ALS Foundation's donations have gone up like 400% from this time last year, which is great. Some people get annoyed because it's just people on Facebook now, and it's like a celebrity status symbol now to be doing it. I think it's good that people are getting awareness, and it's good to bring people together. And it's a funny way to do it because people go, it's cold in the ice. But I do see what some people are saying, like, why don't you just donate the money? Don't put a video on Facebook. And I understand that part of it. But I got challenged, so I did it. And I was going to nominate you, but I was like, there's no way you're going to stand out on your front lawn in a bathing suit and pour ice water on your head.
You never know. You never know. If it's for a good cause, and maybe I'll write a check, $50, $100. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
It's scary. I mean, my grandmother didn't have ALS, but she had Alzheimer's, which is basically the same, and that's genetics. So now I'm worried about my mom. And Seth Rogen had that thing a few months ago where he went in front of someone in Congress and was talking about it. And it's just, that's really, like, that's one of the ones where, like, this kid was healthy. Like, I'm trying to get healthier now. And there's just some stuff, no matter how healthy you get, like, you have a bad roll of, like, genetic cards or something. But we have a call coming in.
What's up, Danny B?
Oh, you tell me, brother man. How's everything?
Good, good. No, last night I'm sitting there minding my own fucking business, going through the channels, and I'm watching Carolina play somebody last night, and I'm sitting there going, it's amazing that it's fucking football season again. And usually I just watch it for a minute. I watch the quarter. In fact, I call Lee, and I go, Lee, I'm sitting here watching football. And he goes, I can't. I go, yeah, I'm scratching a fucking itch, you know. you get sick and tired of not having football on. And listen, man, I always started as a football fan, but as life gets real, you got to cut the fantasy shit out, so I cut away from football. Mm-hmm. I can't sit there anymore, Danny, and watch three games like we used to 30 years ago on a Sunday. I wish I could. I wish I could.
Well, you know what? Because you got responsibility now. Back in the day, we had none, and I get it. For me, it comes natural because it's part of what I do, but for the average guy, you know, unless they're betting the game, those guys can't help themselves. But, yeah, I get it. It's tough to sit down as you get older watching a football or a baseball game in its entirety. I'm a peeker. I peek, man. Like, I don't even like to see the shit, folks. I got money on a game. I peek at it. I come back 10 minutes later. I peek because I'll tell you why. I had the Colts the other night, 26-0 over the Giants with 10 minutes left in the game. They lost 27-26.
Did they really?
That's why you don't... Yeah, it fucking killed me, man. I was looking at the score. I didn't watch the game. I said, all right, 26-0, 10 minutes left in the game. I wake up the next day, I saw the final score. I almost puked my breakfast up. That's why these games fuck you up, man. But yeah, it is good to have football here. But reality, yeah, it's tough to watch a full football game these days.
Let me ask you something. I was talking to Lee last night, and Lee, like, I go, Lee, you're not watching, because I don't watch preseason. And I go, you know, it's amazing that people are betting right now already. He goes, And I broke it down for, I go, Lee, you know, most people right now, like North Bergen people grew up with, on a night like last night, they bet a five-timer, $25, maybe a five-time parlay, $50 to watch the game. And to them, that's what they're doing. It's a reason to watch the game. Mm-hmm. You don't have everybody gambling. But you got to...
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. There's some sick bastards out there. I got a client that rock and rolls. He don't care. I'm telling him to bet $500 on the game, but he can't do it. So he's betting $3,000 a game on preseason games.
Oh, my God.
You know, so, yeah. You know, you have to have a couple
action
of
action is action, baby.
But how...
Action is action.
So when good gamblers are breaking down games, they're looking at who's playing. But with preseason, they're bringing in people who aren't even going to make the team.
Good point. Here's the thing with preseason. A lot of people say you're crazy playing it. Certain teams have a different itinerary. You know, they're checking out defensive backs. They know who's doing what. Look for a team with depth, like quarterbacks fighting for each other, you know, fighting for the number one spot. Look what Pete Carroll did in Seattle game. He had Russell Wilson in with like 2 minutes left in the first half. He almost got hurt too, so he's playing to win. He ain't fucking around. So preseason for the average guy, yeah, back the fuck off. But guys that have the edge, you know, you follow the money. That's simple. For me, I just follow the sharp guys, and, you know, they make money more times than they lose, Leah. That's simple. But, yeah, back off the preseason because it is a crapshoot.
You know, it's amazing how I look at the Twitter timelines from time to time. I see you hustling. I see the Philly Godfather hustling. But I see a couple new people on the horizon that are getting retweeted by people that are on the computer. It's amazing how much life changes, but it's really amazing how the trends change, Danny. You know, 20 years ago, you'd have to call people all fucking day. Now, they're on the computer. They're on the fucking computer figuring it out, and you could sell your product on the computer without even talking to the person.
Well, the problem is you can do that, but a lot of guys ain't qualified to sell a product. So anybody with a website and a Twitter account's making money, you know, because, you know, most guys are okay at it, but push comes to shove. This ain't easy. When you're betting your own money, and how many of those guys are actually betting their own money? That's the thing. Are they really betting, or are they selling picks because, you know, they got nothing to lose, you know? So, you know, they come a dime a dozen these days. I'm scratching my head, you know? I'm scratching my head. You know, every time I turn around, but there's some legitimate guys out there. I get them on podcast, a couple of real sharp players out there, but they're far and few between, brother. What else did I want to say? Yeah, I hear you were in Kentucky or Tennessee not too long ago.
This last weekend, man.
How did that go for you?
I practice what I preach. I'm not going to come on this fucking podcast and tell you motherfuckers that I love Smallville, USA. I love visiting Smallville, USA. I do it more than most of the people I know. I love that small mentality. I love going to see people in their most primitive effect, you know. Anybody can go to Chicago, anybody can go to New York, go do comedy in Paducah, you know, at a coffee shop, you know, with 60 people who drove from Louisville, Kentucky to see you. 4 hours, people who drove from Cincinnati. It was a great feeling, man, and I like being in the heartlands of places, you know. Anybody can go to North Bergen, you know, go to the middle of New Jersey, where there's fucking mountain lions and shit, and you have a conversation with them. I remember when the Shore was different. Remember when the Shore was just, you know, I always felt bad for the Shore people because for 4 months a year, they got tormented. They got tormented by assholes like me and fucking Darren Rago and fucking, you know, for 4 months. Yeah. And I remember when Frankie Edgar first came on the scene in the UFC and he started beating people. One of the first bets I ever made in the UFC with my wife was UFC 100, was Frankie Edgar when he beat Sean Sherk, and nobody could believe it. And I remember telling Joe Rogan on the way back, I go, I grew up down there. Those kids were forced to be tough. Those little Shore motherfuckers, those little dirty dogs, as I used to call them, those dudes would fight you to the death down there.
Yeah, they were tough. You know, we had some good times down there. You're right. We tormented that town wherever, Belmar, Seaside. We picked a new city every year.
Manasquan. Well, no, you evolved. Nah. You first started at Seaside, Lavalette.
Seaside.
And then you went to Belmar, and then you went to Manasquan, and then you went to those other shores.
What was that place in Belmar that we used to, that the roof is on fire place? Remember that song, the roof is, what the fuck was that?
There was one place, Montego Bay, where we were eating Quaaludes
like
a motherfucker.
Montego Bay, dude, I remember many times waking up in the parking lot at like 10 in the morning, the owner kicked me like, hey, Dan, we're getting ready to open the club. You mind moving over?
Yeah, no.
I'd be like, what? I have rocks in my face and the little stones. We had some good times, though. A lot of laughs. 10 people piling up in a one bedroom, you know, just bodies everywhere, people
because
naked,
they charge you,
everywhere.
They would charge you a lot of money for those houses in the summer. The landlords would jack the prices up. So you couldn't afford them. So you had to go like eight people to a house. But it's amazing when I see pictures now of the shore. Like I have people send me pictures of what the beach looks like on the weekend. First of all, they haven't really recovered from the hurricane last
year. Sandy, yeah.
Have not recovered. A lot of those shores are still closed. Construction, you know, they got hit. You know, like when the hail comes down in Colorado, next thing you know, every construction company is in Colorado. Not only that, you have all the fake contractors that come, take your deposit, and then never do the work. They'll tell you, yeah, give us 10% up front. We'll be here in a month because we're fucking busy as shit. And they never do the work. Well, that also happened in New Jersey because New Jersey being the capital of fucking scams, they got scammed the hardest. So a lot of these people went back there to do construction. And those places ain't fucking done yet. So the shore this year...
No, my mother... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The shore this year was very tough.
There I go again. We're so fucking rude, too, where we're from.
The shore that week was very tough. So I don't even know. I lost my train of thought there. What were you saying about your mom?
I did it to you. I fucked you up. I fucked you up. Take a bite of the brownie. It'll come to you. No, my mother lives in Keensburg, you know, and that's a shore town. And they're still fucked up. Half of the block is condemned. They got it roped up. They haven't recovered. And what are we, 2 years later or more? So that place is fucked up. I haven't really hit the Jersey Shore a couple of years back. We stopped in Seaside. The rooms were booked. We found one place. We saw a ghost, and we left. I got a picture of it. I'm going to send it to you. Legitimately, Jamie was taking a picture of me and the kids slumming it. We call it slumming it because we're always in these five-star hotels. We couldn't find nothing but a hole in the wall. So we're laying in this broken-down Victorian building, and I said, Jamie, take a picture of this. I've never done this in a long time. And then we were talking about packing up and leaving, and then she goes, you might really want to pack up now. Look, and we found a ghost in the picture. I put it all over Facebook. I got to get it out there. If anybody out there, any of you fans out there, don't tell me that's a ghost. I'm telling you, Coco, it was a fucking ghost. I got to send you the picture. You'll trip out on it. So that's the last time I went to New Jersey beaches besides Atlantic City.
Last time I was in New Jersey Beach was probably 9 years ago, and I didn't even go to the beach. I was with Jimmy Burkle.
Jimmy Burkle! Oh, shit.
I was with Jimmy Burkle. And we went to Atlantic City to eat crab legs, and while I was in Atlantic City, I got a gig in Connecticut. So Jimmy Burkle and me got in the car, and he drove me all the way to Connecticut. But as far as swimming down the shore... Oh, my God, it's got to be 98, 97. I used to go to Seaside Park with the DiLorenzos with Chris. And on the corner, he had a hot dog stand. Oh, my God, Danny. They had spicy chili. The guy had the fucking the sabret chili, but he spiced it up. And I would get like six hot dogs a sitting. I was averaging fucking 20 hot dogs a day, 3 days down the shore. It was amazing. I was shitting hot dogs.
You know what? You mentioned DiLorenzo. He had that place, a little unit next to Montego Bay. Remember that apartment complex by Montego Bay?
Yeah. That was
That's where I used to sleep in the parking lot. You know, there was no room. You know, if you got in early, you got a bed or a spot on the floor. But half the time, I would grab a blanket, fucking sleep right in the parking lot of Montego Bay. You know, and those were good times. And that's funny, too. I also remember that week, Miss Tazer, of course, Romano. She was like one of the boys. She'd fucking blast blow all night long, act like nothing happened, arm wrestle you. She went tubing in the fucking Atlantic, and she forgot to shave her, you know, a little choochie. And I just remember looking at it. It was like the funniest thing. She just floated around all fucked up with a hairy pussy sticking out. But, we had some good times back then, Coco.
How's your brother? Gary?
Huh?
What do you hear from Gary?
Bad stuff. Okay, let me tighten up the Gary story here. I got a link sent to me about a week ago from my cousin Mikey. I guess the kid that he robbed the bank with flipped and confessed on other things. He was on a spree there, you know, a three-week spree. All in North Bergen, right? He's fucking a three-mile radius. He took down first the guy. They got him for the one bank, carjacking, blah, blah, blah. But the young kid fessed up today. Had robbed a bank earlier in the week, like 4 days earlier. They had done a couple of McDonald's and Burger Kings, and There was a restaurant down there, the Chateau. You remember the Chateau, Coco? It's still there. I think that's the name of it. They followed some broad home, gunpoint, took like six large from her purse. So they connected him. He's done, bro. He's not going to see the streets again, you know. And so that's the latest. I haven't spoke to him. You know, I think he's in Newark, somewhere around Newark Prison. I'm not sure. He hasn't wrote to nobody. But, yeah, we just got the latest charge. So, yeah, you know, so he did a few banks, and God only knows what else he did. And one of the getaway drivers died. That's right. I forgot. It wouldn't tell in the story, but they had a getaway driver that died. I don't think it was related to the bank robbery. So Gary's fucking, I don't know. It's sad, bro. It's sad. It's killing my mom. You know, she's not doing too well herself. But, yeah, he ain't going to come home anytime soon, pal.
What's the deal for the season? What do you got for these guys if they sign up now, whether it's for the month, whether it's for the year? What do you got going on this year? What's the package?
Well, let's see. What do we got today? For the church guys, I always take care of something special. But for the common guy out there, we got the $150 for the month. But if you sign up for 1 month, you get another month free. Breaks down to like less than $5 a play. And then if you do it for the year, it's like 50 cents a play. We give out like 30 to 40 plays a month. If you break down the math, it breaks down to dollars or pennies. I'm not really, you know, really right now we're getting ready to get the football season off. As you know, my bread and butter is still radio. We just did, me and Big Lou just did a documentary on sports betting with the National Geographic Channel. They were out by you guys in California for drag racing, you know, how people bet on the car races on the street. Then they were down in Georgia doing dog and cockfighting. So they came up this way to do me and Lou was for sports betting. So that should air sometime in January. But I'm just getting ready to get my season going, Coco. You know, next week, next Thursday, starts it up the 28th. But tonight you have a big game with Cleveland and Watt. They're anticipating a big audience tonight for this Johnny Football. You know, he's not starting, but tonight's a big game. They expect a good audience to watch the Monday night game.
Whatever happened to Monday Night Football? When I was growing up, Monday night was everything. You didn't even make plans on Monday night. If you did an event on Monday night, you were fucked, because why would you do something? People are going to keep asking you, hey, is the game on? You just get irritated. Yeah. Now, Monday Night Football is nothing. It's like fucking nobody even acknowledges it. There's no more happy hours. There's nobody fucking stabbing people. You know, it used to
no,
be
they
fun.
Got it. They got it going on here. They do kind of, I don't know about out west, but here they still got their Monday night specials, wing nights. They celebrate. But you're right, the luster's gone. It's not what it was. Nothing is. Everything's televised. There's games 7 days a week. You know, but when we in the 80s, we had that build-up. We had that Monday night build-up. They didn't even have the Sunday night games when we were out there.
Every once in a while, they would have an ESPN special Sunday night evening. Atlanta Falcons or something, but no, it was straight up. Hey, Lee, what's going on? You want to ask Danny a question? You over there? You stoned yet on that candy?
Well, I'm a little stoned, but I have a bunch of questions.
Well, hit him. What the
fuck? Sure, fire away, Lee.
Well, Joey, I don't remember why we were talking about it.
You guys are fucking stoned all the time. Yeah, you're fucking stoned all the time. That's why you forget shit.
That's true. But he was saying how if we went to Atlantic City, you can't leave the strip, and I really like gambling. I'm just not. I haven't put enough time into it to be good at it. And I was watching this documentary on this blackjack player who beat like Atlantic City casinos for like $15 million.
Come on, spit it out. It's okay.
He beat them for like $15 million. But they were saying that Atlantic City's literally dying right now. So like,
it's deadly.
And you were saying you were just there. So like, why is it dying?
Well, you know what? A couple of things. A, it's a ghetto. I was at the Revel, which is, I think, just went out of business or about to, and it's the most beautiful casino. It's the most expensive casino in the United States at $2 billion. It's gorgeous. It's gone bankrupt twice now in less than 2 years. There's no reason to go there. You have casinos here in Bethlehem, the Sands. They're all over Philly and the Poconos and Yonkers. So there's no reason. You can bet online now in New Jersey. There's no reason to go to Atlantic City. Yeah, it's beachfront, but it's panhandlers. It's lost its luster. Sports betting could help help the road to recovery, but it's not the solution. You know, it's not the whole solution, but it definitely can help spice up some interest. Things have just changed. You know what? Again, when they were the one game in town, yeah, everybody went to Atlantic City, but you don't have to no more, Lee. You know what? They come up with this Revel. It's gorgeous. It's an oasis in Atlantic City, but it wasn't people-friendly. They didn't have it. They designed it beautiful, but not for gambling. They kind of made it like a resort. And
okay.
People down there, they're broke. They don't have money to spend like that. And it just wasn't carefully thought out, the layout of the place, but a beautiful
They tried to put a silk hat on a pig. That's what happened. They tried to put a silk hat on a fucking pig. You know, first off, you're absolutely right. Lee and I just went down to Harris in San Diego, the casino. We went down there. Lee, how good was the lobster bisque?
Great.
Everything was great. It's a beautiful fucking place. So me and Lee are coming back with stone to the gills on a cookie, and we're talking about how a gambler, a degenerate gambler, doesn't need to go to Las Vegas anymore. All he has to do is drive to San Diego now, or Pechanga Casino, or the Bicycle Club, which rock all day, right in my neighborhood here, right off the 710. That's where Gabe Iglesias started comedy, at the Bicycle Casino. You go to Commerce Casino, the same thing. Okay, they're all fucking Thai and Asian people, but who gives a fuck? Right. They got cash. All cuts out from Vegas. Vegas is going after the 21-year-old that drives there every Friday and does ecstasy and jumps up and down. Vegas isn't doing bad. They're not doing well. Like, okay, so now in Vegas you got these 21 and 23-year-olds that go to do drugs, and you got families. That in-between is missing. That in-between is staying home. That in-between is saying, hey, you know what? I don't need to spend $600 on a fucking plane ticket and another $400 in a hotel room to gamble. I could pocket that. I could buy an 8-ball and save $700.
No, well said. Well said. And again, here, I mean, I got the Sands. Hopefully you'll get a chance to play there. It's beautiful. I mean, it's probably one of the nicest casinos I've seen. The rooms are reasonable. But the problem there now is they're busing in all the gooks out of New York. Just the you know, the Asians are coming in. They're giving them like free $50 worth of play. They got a guy, they did a little film on him. He makes two trips a day. He gets these $50 vouchers, sells them for $40. So he makes $80 a day, just going back and forth, hanging out. You walk around the Sands, it's like Night of the Living Dead. Nothing but Asians just walking around waiting for the bus to take them back. They take baths in the bathrooms. They steal your little free plays, your cards, you know, your fucking card you leave in the machine. It's really bizarre. So, yeah, both Atlantic City and Las Vegas, it'll never be what was. There's too many places popping up. But, you know, with a little help from legislature, if they legalize sports betting in Atlantic City, because it is beachfront, you know, it is. That's one advantage they have that Vegas doesn't. It's beachfront. The beaches are pretty nice.
I heard the beach is nice. I heard the beach is clean. I have a friend that's very picky. Yeah. And he says that he found the solution. He goes to Atlantic City because nobody goes on that beach in the summer. He goes, they're all down the shore jumping up and down. He goes, you go to Atlantic City, he goes, you get a room, you go on the beach, it's like stealing. He doesn't even gamble.
No. Nope.
He goes down there, he gets a steak, and he comes back on Sunday. He loves it. Him and his wife fucking love it. And nobody knows. Yeah, they don't gamble. Nobody remembers, D. When we were growing up, if you went to 30th Street and Bergenline Avenue, by the cab stand, you paid $9.99. They gave you a voucher. They gave you $10 in quarters, and they gave you $20 in coupons to eat, and they put you on a bus to Atlantic City. The catch was you couldn't leave early if you lost. So if you took the 7 a.m. bus, you had to wait for the 3 o'clock bus. You couldn't go back on the 11 o'clock bus. That's how they got you to spend money because they know you're going to lose. They're going to give – it was free. Atlantic City basically bust you for free because it costs you $10 to get in, but you got $10 in quarters when you got down there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing with the Asians, but they're disciplined. They're fucking smooth. You know, they're disciplined. They can walk around. They graze. I'm telling you, you'll see them. You're like, what the fuck is this? They're all over the place.
So how far is it from New York to Bethlehem by bus?
Oh, shit. Without traffic, hour 15 from the Port Authority.
Danny Biancool, so that's fucking amazing.
No, so I'm telling you, they're making money. It's like they were all over the local news here, like how the Asians are just taking the free. And they're making a profit. They're making, they're giving them $50 in vouchers. They're selling them for 40 to the guys, you know, so the guy's saving 10 bucks. They do it a couple of times a day. They travel 5 days a week. The guy's making 400 bucks. They find, you know, again, they pack their little lunches once in a while. It's fucking amazing. But
they also got,
you know,
like
me,
Connecticut. They got all these places around New York now that you don't need, you know, and I love Las Vegas. I got nothing against Las Vegas. But again, a degenerate gambler in this economy, bitches, you know, it's tough out there for a pimp. I don't need to go to Vegas to play cards at the blackjack convention when I can go to Bethlehem, get comped. I'm an hour from my house. If I pick up a chick and I want to stab her, what happened?
Hey, bro? Listen, I was up in Long Island, man. You know they're comical up in Long Island. You've done comedy up there a few times. But I have a little office up. We moved from Comac to Bayshore. My boy lives in Port Jefferson. So they got all of these fucking Italians coming in playing high-end cards. It was fuck. I wish I was filming it, Coco. It was the most hysterical thing I've seen. These guys were having pots of $30,000-$40,000. I was tripping out. I went to bed at 12 o'clock. I woke up for work. They were still at it at 9 o'clock. They stayed in the place till like 12 or 1 o'clock. But just the atmosphere was funny. You ever watch some of those Long Island guys, Coco? When they're playing cards, cursing and making fun of each other? So, yeah, it was kind of comical, but you don't have to go nowhere. You don't have to go far, or you can bet online right now, you know, especially in New Jersey, Nevada. You can bet legally online. And there's 90% of us out there that are betting illegally online.
Isn't there a casino in New York City in, like, Queens?
Yonkers. Yeah, it's a good one. You got the racetrack there, you know, it's a nice setting. It was one of the first casinos that offered full service. They started off with slot machines only, Lee, and then they instituted blackjack, roulette, and poker. But Yonkers, I believe, was the first. Allegedly, Monmouth Park is going to offer sports betting, and they're going to ignore the federal ban. So let's see what happens here in the next couple of weeks. Let's see if the feds, it's kind of like the pot thing, you know? It's illegal federally, but in the states it varies. So same with Monmouth Park. They're just saying, fuck it. We're going to stick our chest out and see what happens. I wonder if the feds will come in and confiscate the machines or whatever. I don't know. So that should happen in 2 weeks, they're saying.
My mother's number one addiction was the ponies. And that was her last hope, was Yonkers, because that was nighttime. They were late night. Like, when she called me at midnight, I knew she was coming back from fucking Yonkers. Yonkers is the last planet unknown.
The last stop.
That fucking track looked like death at night. I used to be scared when she was telling me she was going to Yonkers. Because it was every degenerate gambler in the tri-state area. This is their last hope to wake up with money in their pocket. Sometimes, you know, and they go to Yonkers. And they redid the track. I hope they fucking redid that thing.
Oh, it's nice.
They did some urban optimization there. Because that shit was a fucking jungle up there. That was this. And you know what, man? You have to. That's the other thing now. These casinos look great. They look great for the eye. And they get a steak in there. You get a good cheap steak in there for these fucking people. And they feel like they had a fucking The Palms Hotel. And they're ready to go. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Atlantic City, I'll tell you, I've been to Atlantic City. I could put it on my hand. And it's been like an okay experience all five times.
Let me tell you something. The food's not good no more. Remember they used to feed you for free? Even in Vegas, the food was next to nothing. Vegas still offers a lot of great food, but you're paying for it. In the 80s, we ate like kings. It's expensive. We got Bethlehem, I mean, without traffic, it's literally 8 minutes from my house, the Bethlehem, the Sands. They got emeralds in there. The food's okay, but it's fucking expensive. You know, you figure you can't eat cheap in these places no more. You know, so, you know, gambling's huge, man. It's everywhere. I just don't see why they don't let us bet on the sports, because everybody wants to do it. Everybody's doing it. You know, people are getting in trouble because they have to. Here's my opinion. If you regulate it, make people post money that they can afford to lose, rather than betting with bookies on credit and stuff like that. I think it's just good. It's just smart. But let's see what happens. And football again, officially next Thursday, college football starts up. Some teams to look for. Let me throw out a little advice, Lee. You can look at some of these future bets. Okay, let me get to
Lee,
my...
Lee, you okay over there? You fucked up?
Yeah, I'm fucked up, but I'm listening.
It's not a bad game.
Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. I said, now, these odds have been changing. A lot of guys are going to be playing the favorites like Seattle and Patriots and Denver. You know, you got Seattle 9-2 and Denver like 7-1. Patriots, I'm looking at some value here. You know, long shots to an extent, but good teams like the Saints, if you put some money on the Saints, you can get them at 20-1. They have a good chance of winning the Super Bowl this year, so I'm liking the Saints at 20-1. And in AFC, the Colts bring a lot of value at 25-1. So if you put a little bit of money on these teams, maybe $10, $20, and then you see that they're not cutting it towards the end of the year, you can always hedge your bet. But some good value on the Saints, Colts, and in college football, a lot of people are high on Oklahoma Sooners this year. You know, they started off at 15-1. Now they're at 10-1. So they're high on them. Of course, your Florida State, Bama, Auburn, favorites. But Georgia, some people like Georgia at 13-1 in Oregon. At my personal bet is South Carolina. I think South Carolina and Spurrier, long shot at 23-1, but... there's definitely some good value out there, Lee. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, it's not NFL, but before LeBron James went to the Cavaliers, like how many people are going to make millions if they win? Because weren't they like 60-1 before LeBron James came? Now they're like right. Now they're like the favorites. So like I always feel stupid because when that first came out, like the Cavaliers were like 60-1 odds, and now they're like 5-1. So if they win, some people are going to make millions.
If you got in early before the move, yeah, that was fucking great. But you know, you got to foresee the future there. But I honestly was surprised that he went back there. But you know, good for him. You know, they hated him a few years ago. Now they love him again. That's the world. You know, what have you done for me lately? You know, but again, anything can happen. I just take this year, and I've been doing this now. This is my 21st season, like doing radio and television with this shit. And it's every year it's something different, you know. Always something happens. Somebody gets hurt, fucks up the team. So I always tell everybody, and I'm honest with everybody, but just put some money aside that you can afford to lose. Have some fun with this. Expect some ups and downs, but, you know, you can make money at this. But the key here, Lee, you have to have money. You have to have money to go with this, like anything else. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, and I'm very sincere about this, Coco. You know the way it is. You got $100,000 put into a money market account or any investment. What are you looking at, 2%, 7% maybe if you're lucky? So on a low end, a money market account, 2% on 100 large, that's $2,000. You pay taxes on it, at least enough for a fucking Happy Meal. How much money did the government or the banks make off of your 100 grand? God only knows. So for the guys that have money, that have discipline, it ain't for everybody. I'm telling you what, with that type of money, you can't get hurt unless you get stupid and bet $10,000 a game. If you're moving $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a game with that type of money behind you, you're guaranteed to make money as long as you stay disciplined. When I'm following guys that like the Philly Godfather and the whole group, one thing about me now, I'm more connected than I've ever been, Coco, because now I'm tracking some real sharp players. All those guys, you've had them on your show, the guys that were betting the big money behind Donaghy's games. You know, and they're very sharp. You know, people think you have to hit 80%, 70% to make money. You don't. Listen, and I throw this out to everybody, too. It's common sense. People are looking when they call me, hey, can I hit 70%? I can lie to you and say, yeah, but no. Listen, if you can hit 58%, you had a great year. You had a great year. And I'll just throw out some numbers, and I'm going to round them off on radio here. Say 60%. It's easy to follow, right, Lee? This goes to you, Lee.
Okay.
You play 500 games in a year, okay? And if you're in a position to say, or whatever you can afford, you bet $1,000 a game. That's it. People try to get $5,000, $10,000, and they get greedy. But if you bet consistently and you hit 60%, that's 300 wins and 200 losses. At $1,000, you made $300,000. You lost $220,000 with the juice. You still made $80,000 just betting $1,000 a game. But it's not for everybody. Only 2% of the people have the moxie to do that, and they don't chase. You know, Coco, we know about the chase. And I've seen this. I've made millions at this shit, honestly, and I've lost millions, too. But this is not for everybody. It's not for the squeamish. It's not for the compulsive guy, the guy that has addictive personalities. This shit will swallow you up. I talk to guys that paid service after service, and they always come back for more. And I'd be talking to them. I'm like, so what went wrong? The guy started off good for me. He won his first 7 out of 8 games. Then he told me about a big game, about a couple of players that got food poisoning and fighting with the girlfriend, and one did cocaine last night, so this game's a lock. And I say, and? You bet it all on one. Yeah, I did. Well, whose fucking fault is that, you idiot? You fucking bet everything you made on one game. So I've heard it all. This is fucking no different than any other addiction. Worse, actually, because you can wipe out everything that you've made in your whole life in a matter of 3 hours. Drug addicts, alcoholics, they take time before they kill themselves. Gamblers are fucking worse than any addict out there. Take that to the bank.
Where do these people find you, Danny B?
Ooh, in Allentown, 266 South 33rd Street. I have 2 minutes here now. You can go to DannyWinsForYou.com, Coke. DannyWinsForYou.com. Check it out. You know, it's pretty simple. I got some podcasts up there and a radio show. And I got Big Lou. Before you cut me off, I got Big Lou Issa. You've never met him, Coco, I don't think. Have you met Big Lou?
No, but Joey and you have told me stories about Big Lou. So.
And you know how Big Lou got a hold of me? Because he heard me on this podcast. Well, his friend, it's November. I just got done doing one of the church shows with you. We're talking about how we used to take down the drug dealers with Big Lou. So I see his name show up on my caller ID. Well, turns out his buddy's a fan in New Jersey. He hears us name dropping Big Lou. He says, hey, Lou, guys have been talking about you robbing drug dealers and stuff. And so it turned out that he called me, and we started reuniting. And he's a boxing promoter, you know. He's out there on Showbox, Showtime. He's got a bunch of boxes out there. So, we've reunited, and he's got some good resources, too. He's good with the boxing, very good with boxing, MMA, and soccer. So, yeah, you'll see a little bio of Big Lou up there, and it's not much my website, Coke. I keep it simple, bro. I keep it very simple.
I will see you in New York September 26th and 7th. Get ready to eat some fucking edibles, and your eyeballs are going to get ready.
No. I won't do it no more. Last time I was paralyzed. It was fucking, I told you, my fucking eyes. I went into a coma. My eyes were bleeding. People from the church were kind of trying to talk to me, and I'm like, get the fuck away from me. I can't see nothing right now.
I love you, Danny B. Wins. No.
I love you too. Day League, man.
I'll
keep
call
in
you
touch,
later on,
guys.
My brother.
Thanks for having me. Go get him, everybody out there, man. Thanks for tuning in. Cokes, thanks for having me.
Danny B. Wins. Don't fuck around. I love you, cocksucker.
I love you too, brother. See you soon, pal. Bye bye.
Stay black. See, so if you're going to start your gambling this year, just get a little coach, a little help. I'm not saying to go overboard if you, but if you want to try it, I offer this to you. So you just, you know, a hypothesis is an educated fucking guess. That's all sports betting is sometimes, an educated guess. You know what I'm saying? Lee,
yeah.
How cute and stoned are you right now? You just
it's okay.
There.
I'm stoned, but it's mild.
Mild. It's a nice high. These are very nice. Let me give some shout-outs. We got to talk about some shit here. My main man, Mike Trez. Special shout-out. Sherman Jones for hooking us up with Hit E-Cigs. Luke Denton, I love you, cocksucker. Jesse Fontaine. Greg Fuentes. Abel Bernal and Moses Vasquez. I love you, cocksuckers. Some shout-outs. I love when we have the late-night guests. You know, I love when it's a different avenue of opportunity for you people. I really love that you guys, I get to, Lee and I get to fucking bring different people in here. But they also, people, then they'll hit me up and go, Joe, you haven't given us your take or Lee's take on what's been going on. And I really wanted to get this out there today because my buddy Dean LaPrete, that I grew up with, who listens to the podcast, called me last week, and we had a good discussion about this, and we'll settle it. You know, Facebook, social media has been covered with Robin Williams, you know,
yeah.
and the death of Robin Williams. And it's very sad when anybody dies in any way, form. You know, this is a little sadder because it hits closer to home for comedians and people who like movies and entertainment. You know, and the general consensus are that comedians are dark people and they have this and that. You know, listen, I could sit here and like everybody else, everybody became a fucking authority last week, you know. I could sit here and tell you one thing. I've gone through a lot of little things, and I have gotten down on myself and gotten depressed about my situation. But I've done something about it. I don't know anything about depression. I don't know how it starts. It could be hereditary. You know, I don't know if it's in your genes. I don't know. Whatever it is, my heart pours to you. It's just a different facet of our mind playing tricks on. It's a brain fart. You know, we have anxieties. We have fears, you know. But I will tell you that sometimes when I've had fears, I've been depressed because I haven't overcome them. You know, and that's why I tweeted that stupid thing that fear is a cousin of depression. You know, so I didn't want anybody to be mad at me. I know for a fact it starts to trigger in your mind. I really wanted Dave Attell to call today. I spoke to him yesterday briefly, and I really wanted to talk to explain the comic mind and the different forms of comedians' minds. And I don't know the mind. I know my mind, and I know how my mind works. And I don't get depressed. I do have dark thoughts, and they race in my mind, and they hit so hard that it shatters me for 3 minutes, and then I have to put it in a wastebasket. There's a wastebasket next to me on my left, and I put the shitty thoughts in there, and I've had to do this. And yes, when I went to the psychotherapist that time for my anxiety, we discussed the dark thoughts that I have. And I don't want to take medication because I don't want to feed it. When you have a dark thought, you overcome it yourself. Well, at least in my mind, that's what I do. I know I'll get emails from people saying you should go on this pill or you should go on that pill, and that's what I don't want to do. You know, that's what I want to work this shit out myself. And that's what I've always done. You know, this week I was telling Lee that I had a problem with my wife this weekend, whatever, because of my temper with the baby, you know. I fly for a living. And I've flown in the back of the plane, I've flown in the front of the plane. And from the ages of 1 to 5, it's very hard to travel with a child, you know. And I get to see the other side of it. I get to see, you know, traveling used to be, flying used to be a great experience, Lee. I don't know if you ever flew as a child.
As a child, but it was already kind of, I remember we used to have, they would give you silverware, like actual metal for the meals, but that ended quickly. Like, by the time I was a little kid, it was already terrible.
But it was always supposed to be a good experience for you. You're supposed to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an adult, you're supposed to be excited when you fly. When I fly now, it's just a part of doing business. But I don't like it either. And every day you read how there's terrorism and this and that. You know, you can't outdo life, but you can hide your percentages by doing certain things or not doing certain things, you know? And I was just very scared that Mercy was going to fly. You know, that's it. And because of that fear of Mercy, it bled over into all my other aspects of life, and it made me angry all week, and it really did affect me, and we worked it out or whatnot. But it's amazing that I was getting dark thoughts. That's why I didn't want Mercy to fly. You know, I actually saw the terrorists on the plane smacking my child, you know. I see those things in my mind. And that's what happens with me. You know, I don't get thoughts, dark thoughts. You know, my heart goes out to him, how he ended up dying, and I don't know what he was going through. You know, I hope that God has mercy in his hand. You know, when he touches him, I don't know what happened. But I will know that it was just very sad.
It's terrible. I have people very close to me in my life who went through it, and it's great that you can go through it and not have to take the pills. But I know multiple people who've taken it and changed their lives, and I had like 3 or 4 people within like 2 years of me graduating that had committed suicides, and it's just I don't even want to say depressed. Because when people kill themselves from depression, they're like, well, I was just having a bad week or something. But I've had bad thoughts when I've been down, but I've never seriously considered that at all. And it's just, I can't imagine what you must be going through.
Fear twists people up. It twists me up. it twisted me up to the point where I was asking my wife about missing money. Like, I thought I was missing money from my checking account. I'm like, did you take it? That's how deep the fear took me this weekend. That's what it did to my thoughts. It made me delusional.
Oh, wow.
So I get it. I get it, guys. And I've always had those little things when something scares the shit out of me. It's like I get crazy. I lose my equilibrium. So the mind works in a fucking weird way, man. Mind works in a weird way. And we touched on it the other night, but there was too many people in the room, so I really couldn't pour my heart into it. I'm not the type of person that's going to write something on Facebook, man. I don't like that shit. You know, I have to write everything on Facebook to let people to see it. My Facebook is to get you people up in the morning to crack a stupid joke and to move on with my life. I really don't want to start writing sentences in my life experiences of Robin Williams. I just don't like that shit. I know what happened, and I don't have to tell nobody, but in the podcast, you have to address it because people are listening. They're going, what the fuck? You know, I know he was a comedian. You don't feel anything? Yeah, I feel something. I feel scared. I feel scared for myself. You know, for a couple of days, it did affect me. You know, was I great friends with Robin Williams? No, we seen him that one time.
Yeah.
Down in town, I saw him one night at the Improv, and I said hello. And I saw him a couple times at the store, and I said hello. I didn't really know him. I didn't really have a conversation with him, you know. Did he intimidate me? Nah, I just didn't really talk to him. I just didn't. But after what I saw on Twitter and read on Twitter, you know, everybody's a fucking authority, you know. I'm not an authority of anything. I'm an authority of what I live through.
Right.
And I don't live through depression. I just live with shitty fucking thoughts. And, they scare me, and they scare me at night. And there's times I gotta take my breathing mask off at night and catch my wits and wipe my tears off my eyes or something. But that's what it does to me. I ain't gonna kill myself. So I love you guys, and thank you for the concerns and the emails. I answered 90-something emails yesterday.
Wow.
And a lot of them were talking about that. People with depression, people with, you know, mental anguish, anxiety, you know. It's overwhelming, you know.
Yeah.
I had an anxiety-driven addiction where if the coke wasn't in my body at a certain time, the anxiety was so overwhelmingly that I'm happy I wouldn't talk to people in that time. You wouldn't understand me. If I came to you and grabbed you by the shoulders, I would say, Lee, I just need $60. And the more you would say, Joey, I don't have, Lee, I need $60, okay? And you would see it in my face and finally go, okay, man, calm down, you know? That's the same thing. That's the same thing. It made me crazy. So I'm crazy. I get it. But I just didn't like how people made it seem.
Right.
That we're all these, we go back to our fucking rooms and cry and we're monsters inside, and that's not the fact. I go to dinner all the time with comics afterward and they're fucking fine, you know? And that's part of it.
Right.
That's part of it, you know? To do this career, people, think about it. You gotta be fucking crazy. You gotta be fucking crazy. But then again, to be a doctor, you have to be crazy. To do what Paula does, you have to be fucking crazy. You know, when somebody tells you they're going to law school, you look at them and go, huh. Do you know what you're getting yourself into? When somebody tells you they're pre-med, you know, what makes a fucking motherfucker look at his family and go, hey, ma, I know I got a degree in fucking political science, but guess what? I'm going to choose the life of a fucking comedian. I'm going to go broke for 4 fucking years and live like a peasant and crack jokes and make people laugh. And somewhere in my mind, I'm going to believe that I'm going to become fucking famous doing this shit. Or I'm going to become successful doing this shit. Because there's one thing doing comedy, and there's another thing making a living off of fucking comedy.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things you talk yourself into. So now you look at the list of comedians. How many comedians are? What's the population of the United States?
I don't know.
What do we got? 10,000 comedians if we're fucking lucky? Those are all crazy fucking people.
How many people do you think are around that do what you do and travel to like the good comedy clubs every week?
A lot. You know, 200-300 comedians that travel. You know, you got to figure there's 500 comedy clubs, another fucking 300-400 venues of weekends. There's a lot of comics working. There's a lot of ships. There's a lot of things going on for comedians, you know? And just to get into that career, there's got to be something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they need attention. And for some people, it's an outlet. And for some people, it's therapy. It's your own personal fucking Jesus. It's your own personal Jesus for what you want it to be. For me, for me, it was my last escape. I did not know I would be here 20 years later. I never anticipated being in California. For me, I would have been happy just staying locally. We discussed this the other day on the podcast Wednesday night with the musicians. We discussed how I thought I could just get a job and do comedy as an outlet. I never thought I would do anything greater than that or anything more than that. But because of comedy, this is where I ended up, and I took it. I accepted it. I opened up my heart to it, and I fucking accepted it. So that's the moral of the fucking story, that you got to be crazy to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know why people made, you know, I understand we lost a great talent last week, but it's amazing how all these fucking people came out of the woodwork with their own things about the human mind. And
right.
They have no fucking idea. All of a sudden, we didn't know he was crazy. Look at early Robin Williams, fucking early, A Catch a Rising Star. Those performances. He was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I bumped into him in 1985. This is a true story. I bumped into him in Snowmass Village at the mall there. There used to be a store. It used to be Commander Video. And he would come in there. And one day he came in, and I saw him. And as soon as he walked in, guys, I smelled him.
Oh, no.
He smelled like B.O. That's when he was doing blow. And he wouldn't sign Moscow on the Hudson for me. I asked him, could he sign Moscow on the Hudson? He said no, and he ran out of there. And it shocked me, you know? But I could tell then there was something. I'm like,
yeah.
You're mixing blood, it's something. So let's kill this subject right now. I mean, my heart just goes out to him.
I just think it's like kind of how we were talking about how people are negative about the ice bucket challenge, that some people are like, oh, well, why do we care that this comedian killed himself and there's people who do it every day? I think hopefully what will happen is that just because everyone loves Robin Williams, is that hopefully someone who was getting close to that will get help. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not every comedian.
If it helps one fucking person.
Yeah.
If it helps one fucking person, then it was great that it was brought to light.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sit at home and don't know what's happening to them. A lot of people, whether it's sleep apnea, whether it's depression creeping up on them, they don't know what's happening to them, Lee. They just think they're having a bad day and they're going to come out of this fog in a week. They really don't. People don't know what they're walking into every fucking morning, guy. So my heart goes out to you if you have depression or you feel something. You know, fuck the money. Go get help. You know, whatever. Call somebody. Talk to people. You know, that's the number one thing. I had a friend that had the beginnings of it, and I would talk to him. And even me, as crazy as I was, I never tiptoed around it, but I never was really full tilt Joey Diaz. Because full tilt Joey Diaz will work with you 3 or 4 times, and then after that he'll grab you by the shirt and tell you not what's wrong with you, but all the good things that are going on in your life. And this is why you have to overcome this. Because you do have all these good things. That depression just tells you all the bad things in your life. I'm going to come in and grab you by the fucking neck and tell you you're a bad motherfucker and that you have one bad thing. So take care of it, because if you don't take care of it, it'll bleed into all your other good things. Like the coke addiction I had. It's no different. All these things, you don't think they affect you, but they bleed into every single avenue of your life. When you're a carpenter, if you look up and hit your fucking nail with the thing, it affects your career. It affects you in every single way. It also affects you when you go out. You know, what do we know what these cops are going through? Did you ever think of that? So before I judge anybody on this situation, whether it's Ferguson, I always think about what were they going through the minute before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
That cop from Ferguson, did he just come from a domestic violence dispute where the guy had a knife? Did he just see somebody? You understand, bro? There's so many variables. You know, when they did that colonoscopy and they put me out, they said to me, they made somebody come and drive. Could I drive home? Fuck yeah, I could drive home. But they made somebody come and drive because they said you might make bad judgments. The day I kidnapped Vella, who called here the other day while we were doing a podcast, I had done one of those things. I could have fought it in court and said that, hey, I was put out, I couldn't make a choice. Listen, let's face it. I fucking kidnapped that kid and took those drugs. I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
The point being is that, I don't even know what the fucking point being is. The point being is that it's Monday, August 18th. All right? And it starts all over again today. So what? You drank over the weekend. It starts today. So what? You smoked a cigarette over the weekend. Hey, today. So what? You ate 15 Taco Bells. So what? It all starts all over today. That's the beautiful thing about fucking Monday mornings. Let me give a fucking shout out to my sponsors here. As usual, one of my favorites. In fact, I was thinking about how I'm going to take two shroom techs today to go to jiu-jitsu. Onnit.com. Onnit just sent me some Strongbone right after my surgery. I will be on Onnit Strongbone all over again. I got two things from them so I could strengthen my ligaments and all that. This is what Onnit does. What are the fucking corporate, what are the medical, what are the optimization company gives you something to strengthen your joints? Go Onnit.com. It's not a supplement. It's optimization. It makes you great. And if you don't believe me, just start with Alpha Brain. Just go to fucking Onnit.com. Check out Alpha Brain. Buy the smallest amount you can. If it's not what we say it is, send it back. No questions asked. We don't even want the product back. Money back guarantee. After fucking Alpha Brain, you'll just follow the steps. You'll say, let me try fucking this. My friend said that the enzymes are great for your stomach. Let me try one of their kettlebells. And I guarantee you, just do me a favor. It starts with going to Onnit.com. Look around. Go to the box. If you see something you like, you press in.
Church.
In the box, get 10% off your first order. Also, sign up for Stay Onnit. That's where they mail it to you every month automatically, like the rest of the products here that I try to sell to you. Also, one of my favorite people in the fucking world, HuluPlus.com. All right? How do you like to watch HuluPlus.com? They got niche programming. They got Criterion Collection. They got animation. They got kids. They got original. You can watch HuluPlus.com anywhere, anytime. And it's only $7.99 a month. They got current episodes that you can watch the shows on your schedule. You can watch shows on everything, any streaming device that you have. Smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, computer. And today only, 2 weeks for free, $8.99 a month, all right?
$7.99.
Whatever. That's how I roll. $7.99 a month, 2 weeks free. Who gives you that? Who gives you that type of excitement? When you go to your fucking haircut, does he cut your hair for 2 weeks and then charges you? Fuck no. But that's what we're doing today. If you get Hulu Plus off the fucking TV, it's $7.99 a month. Here at the church, we give you 2 weeks for free. 2 weeks for free. I don't give a fuck if you watch everything and tell Hulu Plus to suck your dick. You're gonna go, fuck, this isn't that bad. What do they gotta do, Lee?
They press Joey or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the banner.
That's it. Give me your credit card. 2 weeks for free. $7.99 a month. Another one of my fucking all-time favorites. Dollar Shave Club. What the fuck do you need a razor for with a flashlight and a hood and a thinking cap and a finger up your ass? All you need are two blades to cut you that are sharp, precisely. They fucking shave you. One pulls the hair. The other one cuts it. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Joey Bananas? Why are you going to go stand online with the rest of these mutts at some pharmacy looking around and pay $20 for a razor? No more. No more. Right? Let me get a water. I've got cotton mouth from that candy. Thank you, Lee. That's why I love it. I only took two waters today. I'm over here dehydrated. That's why you go to fucking Dollar Shave Club right now. But first of all, what do they do with Hulu Plus?
HuluPlus.com/Joey and Dollar Shave Club is DollarShaveClub.com/church.
You get razors for $1, $6, or $9 a month.
Right.
Sent right to your fucking door. Not only that, they got pre-shave. They got the fucking cocoa butter. They got the fucking one wipe Charlie's. They're not fucking around down at Dollar Shave Club. So do yourself a favor. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Get the razors delivered right to your fucking door. Boom. You open them up. You get an email and they tell you when they're going to fucking deliver them. $1, you get four fucking blades sent to you a month. For $6, you get four double blades. And for $9, you get the double blades with the fucking aloe strip. Your face is nice and smooth. Not only that, you can shave your pussy. You can shave your asshole. You can shave your fucking cat's asshole. I don't give a fuck. It's a tremendous razor. Go to DollarShaveClub.com and press
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. In the fucking box and get your Dollar Shave Club today. Also, I'd like to welcome my main motherfuckers, hitesigs.com. The proof is in the fucking cig. You understand me? 12,000 fucking puffs. 1,200 puffs per fucking cigar or cigarette. You get the cigarettes at 0, 16, or 24, or 8 milligrams of fucking, not THC, but nicotine. Again, nicotine. No THC here. Don't be fucking calling me up and going, Joey, I got a fucking 8 milligram and nothing came out. I ain't stoned. You're not supposed to get stoned, you fucking Momo. Hitesigs.com. What are they pressing the box?
Joey's Church.
And you get 20% off. Joey's Church. Hitesigs.com. They got cigars. They got four fucking different type of cigarette. You don't want nicotine? They got that one, too. You could sit there and blow smoke at everybody's face on Thanksgiving. Go to hitesigs.com. And again, I want to give a shout-out to Charmin Jones for hooking us up. they not only are fucking great, but they're better tasting. This cigar is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So next time you go to Atlantic City or Bethlehem or whatever casino you go to, you walk in there with a hilly cig and a fucking bow tie on, who's better than you? Who's fucking better than you, Lee cocksucker?
Nobody.
Nobody, that's right. That's right. So anyway, what's up, Lee?
Nothing, I'm stoned. What's going on?
Something happened this week that really, yesterday, I was sitting there, and I was feeding the cats, and I was just thinking, and I was watching the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they added Josh Kotsek to the show, and he was pretty funny. He took his tooth out. And I watch all that stuff. You know, I'm an idiot. And it's funny that I was like, where's Chael? You know, because Chael used to do that with those guys, and he's gone. And something over the week, I watched Metamoris last week when he got submitted, and I read shit about Chael. You know what? I realized something about Chael. I was like, I don't like this fucking guy anymore. Like, I just have no use for him at all anymore. There was a time when I liked him. And then I started feeling bad for Chael, and then I started realizing that the reason why I didn't like Chael, how old is Chael Sonnen?
Let me find out.
The reason why I was mad at Chael Sonnen is because of a fucking, you know, listen, man, I'm not the best looking guy in the world. My voice irritates me.
He's 37.
There's a lot of things that irritate me about me. The addiction, when I used to get high, I'd look at myself in the mirror and I'd poke my face. That's why I have these scars. There's the thing I hated about, the quality I hated the most about myself that I didn't even know I was doing. And I see it all the time. And a couple weeks when I came in here one morning, I was having a conversation with Lee. And Lee said something to me, and I didn't get mad at Lee for what he wasn't doing. I got mad at Lee for saying it how he did, and I went off on Lee, and Lee was mad at me for a few days. And then we talked, and it's so weird when people don't claim responsibility, Lee. It destroys me because you're not living to your fullest. If you remove that thing from your life, oh my God, your life gets so much better. If people had asked me one thing that helped me the most was that I went up in front of that judge and he told me I didn't claim responsibility. And while I sat in that cell, yeah, I had a good time and don't do it and I laughed, but I thought about that line the whole time and not claim responsibility. And it was so me. I remember bumping into the district attorney at the supermarket in Boulder, and I was talking to him and he looked at me and he goes, Joey, we have an investigator, we checked. You've been chucking and jiving all your fucking life and making people laugh through everything and they forget, it's just Joey. You gotta pay your dues. You gotta do this, man. You gotta come fucking clean. And I would sit there and go, you're not supposed to come clean, you know. You're supposed to, no. Especially when people trying to help you, you know. And that was the thing that bothered me the most about Chael, that his talent wasn't up to par with his mouth. You know, when he fought Henderson, when he fought John Jones, it was always his mouth that got him the fucking fight, but then when he get there, he got the same result over and over, which is the same thing the DA told me when he said I was chucking and jiving. That's what I was doing. I was chucking and jiving through my life. And then when I didn't, instead of just going, you know what? I mean, after the second time they caught him, he's still talking about that his kids, he wanted to get his wife pregnant, and that's why he did him. And I sat there heartbroken because you'll never grow as a human being. And I know Chael. I know that he came clean last week. But you know what? In his heart, he never came clean. And that was the biggest thing that I overcame in my life. Forget the fucking coke and the fucking being a piece of shit criminal and the shoplifting and the fucking lying and everything I was doing when I was at a young age. Everything changed because I looked at my perspective different. Of claiming responsibility. And you guys, you sit there going, fuck, we're turning this shit off. Joey's going on that rant about claiming responsibility because everybody wants to move forward. But for me, that was the biggest fucking hurdle. And once I overcame it, the world opened up. Forget about cleaning up on the drugs. Forget it, because even if I would have cleaned up on the drugs, Lee, I would still not come clean with myself about the things I'm doing. You know?
Well, it's easy. It's like, even, I'm sure you have points right now, like maybe what happened over the weekend where you were like, oh, I should have just told my wife earlier, or I don't know in what way, but sometimes even when I try to, it's easy sometimes to blame other people, and it feels good because then you're not blaming yourself, but then when you look back and you're like, oh, I should have just done that. And
oh my God, it's such a, you know what, it's such a fucking, I don't like people saying something to me. I would hate, I hate when somebody says, Lily, do me that favor, pick up that piece of paper. You know you had to pick it up for 5 fucking days. You know you had to go pick up that suit at the dry cleaners. We all know we got to do shit. And it's like, it destroys. And then when you tell me the reason why you didn't do it, I do the same. You know, I do the same in my mind. But then I go, you know what? Fuck everything. Now I got to get my car in traffic and pay my dues for not going. You know, that's how I be, you know, and it's just so many different fucking things. You know, the gym for me. Like right now, I'm talking to you, but 10 minutes ago, when Danny, I was thinking about how I'm going to work out today. I have so many different things. Do I have time to zip into Wilshire, do the workout, and zip back? I really don't today. So that means I got to run home, do paperwork, write a little bit, and then go to the park and work out. That's important to me. But it's amazing how when I would go on the road, I would never work out and give myself excuses. Ah, it's a fucked up gym. You can still put sneakers on and walk.
Yeah.
You can still put sneakers on and walk. Well, I don't have money for a gym. You can still put sneakers on and walk. Like, there's always an answer. There's always a fucking answer, you know? And that's it. I hope that Chael overcomes this. I overcame it at 26. And I think I fucked around with it for about another year, and then I got it, and I moved on. And I got to tell you, it really helped me. And some people might say, oh, well, Joey, sometimes in your actions, you're kind of negative because you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself and what limitations you have and whatnot. What, I want to try something I'm not going to fucking like? Why? I try everything. I practice everything I preach here. You know, I practice fucking getting up early. I practice fucking doing something every day. All we need in this life is to be 1% better every fucking day. Every day when I wake up, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to be a little better than what I was yesterday. I'm going to say fuck one last time. I'm going to say fuck one less time. I'm going to say shit one less time. I'm going to, you know, it's just so many fucking things, and we'll leave it with that. We'll be back Wednesday fucking night, you savages. 8 o'clock, we got a great guest coming in. Don't worry about nothing. You know, we always take care of you.
What's with the questions?
What's with the questions, cocksucker? So, Chael, I love you. Robin Williams, my heart goes out to you. And I hope you motherfuckers had a great podcast. I know I had a great time.
It was fun. You know shows coming up?
I got Ugats. I got okay. JoeyDiaz.net. Go on there. Look at the dates I got coming up. Go get yourself a gi patch. I'm finishing up with these mugs and these gi patches and this shirt, and I'm moving on. I'm getting a hoodie sweatshirt for the winter. We're going to get you some new fucking cool shit. So go there now.
Oh, if anyone works with leather, I'm trying to do something with leather. So if you could tweet me, then I'd appreciate it.
And that's it, cocksucker. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. I want to give a shout-out to Onnit, HuluPlus.com. Dollar Shave Club and HideousSigs.com. All right? As far as you cocksuckers are concerned, have a great day, have a great week, and stay black.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. Don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. Also, remember to go to Onnit.com and you use code word church to get 10% off your order of optimization tools like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Stroom Tech, anything like that. And go to hitesigs.com. That's sigs.com. Use code word Joey's Church and get 20% off of one of the best favorite pens on the market.